A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Utah's Morning News with Tim Hughes and Amanda Dixon on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning. KSL News Time is 6:30 and our top story this half hour.
Utah's Water Watch, special coverage on KSL News Radio.
A Utah resort can now say they've had over 700 inches of snow fall on their slopes this season, and we're also closing in on an all-time record when it comes to how much water is in that snow. KSL News Radio's Adam Small begins our live team coverage, Utah's Water Watch. Adam?
Tim, Brighton has officially passed 700 inches of snow, marking the earliest time a resort has ever hit this milestone. To put this into perspective, Ski Utah says a typical winter is 500 inches for a given resort. To celebrate, the Hyatt Regency Hotel in downtown Salt Lake City will put up a 700-inch banner later this week. And we're not done yet. More mountain snow is coming tonight.
The Wasatch Mountains south of I-80, as well as the southern mountains and the western Uinta Mountains, we're looking at 1 to 2 feet of snow. Locally higher amounts in the Cottonwoods.
National Weather Service senior meteorologist Monica Traphagen says with this last storm, Utah's snow water equivalent now sits at 24.4 inches, now only an inch and a half away from the 40-year-old record. Reporting live, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
By the way, Alta got 9 new overnight, now has a base of 186 inches. It's possible we could have a 200-inch base going into April. Utahns are feeling conflicted about what feels like a never-ending series of storms. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ayres continues our team coverage, Utah's Water Watch.
Some love these storms.
I'm okay with the precip.
Others are annoyed they can't get outside yet.
I feel like it shuts the community down a little more, too. Like, you don't interact as much.
Many are feeling both.
I think we need the water, but yeah. I wish we'd have spring.
We're in for more wet storms starting up again today. Another week of cold isn't the worst thing. If we do warm up too fast, flooding could get worse.
I was down at the well, you know, the artesian well, and sometimes the water is quite slow coming out. It is gushing out of the holes now, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what if it floods?
Something Utahns are definitely keeping an eye on. Lindsay Ayres, KSL News Radio.
Salt Lake County is asking people to give them a heads up if they spot patches of debris blocking up local rivers and streams. KSL TV's Andrew Adams reports from Little Cottonwood Creek.
Salt Lake County's top emergency manager. He said crews are already busy identifying hazards like these.
There's the potential for dozens of these kinds of snags to be along the various creeks across the county.
We watched the emergency manager contact work crews about the snags he saw. He told us it's critical when neighbors see issues like these to let the county know.
KSL's top national stories this hour. The Federal Reserve kicks off 2 days' worth of meetings today, and they'll end by deciding whether or not to increase interest rates as they work to slow inflation. But an added concern for these meetings, of course, is the recent bank failures and how banking uncertainty is impacting the economy. Goldman Sachs says it would be a good idea for the Fed to pause interest rate hikes, at least for now. Chinese President Xi Jinping holds a second day of talks today with Vladimir Putin. During day one, a Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson told reporters through a translator that Ukraine was a central focus of their talks.
Russia has studied China's position paper and is open to talks for peace.
The two countries are presenting a united front just days after the International Criminal Court issued a war crimes arrest warrant for Putin. Security, a big concern surrounding the investigation in New York into former President Trump.
We have no idea how big the protests will be, but we saw what happened the last time Donald Trump said he was a victim and called on people to come out and protest on his behalf. That was January 6th. So you do see the barricades going up in New York. You do see security preparations even down in Mar-a-Lago. So it's not just New York. I'm sure there's going to be added security measures in Washington, D.C. as well. Again, we don't know. Is this going to be, you know, massive protests like what Trump is calling for, or will it be something less?
ABC's Jonathan Kroll reporting. Time to get that first look traffic check here. Andy Farnsworth, what are things looking like?
Well, we've got delays in Davis County because of a crash on I-15 at Hillfield Road. A truck ran into a right barrier, and
As a result, we've got a couple of right lanes blocked off, and that's what's causing some northbound slowdowns. There's supposed to be a southbound crash in the same area on one of the on-ramps, although I haven't seen that. That might be down a little bit closer to Layton Parkway or Kaysville or something. But I-15 in Salt Lake and Utah County's moving just fine. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
New details are coming to light about a Colorado dentist accused of murdering his wife. Police near Denver say that dentist James Craig bought arsenic and cyanide to kill his wife, Angela. Here's former FBI agent and ABC News contributor Brett Garrett.
This was planned. It was researched. It was ordered, the poisoning. It shows tons of premeditation, which will all work against him.
The arrest warrant states that Angela again checked into a hospital last week, complaining of a severe headache and dizziness, and died on Saturday. No classes for Los Angeles public school students this morning as thousands of service workers go on strike.
The union representing custodians, bus drivers, and cafeteria workers now vowing to picket for 3 days, demanding better pay and benefits, saying the average worker salary is $25,000, with most working only part-time. The union canceling last-minute talks, claiming the district leaked confidential negotiations to the media, which the superintendent denies. The district says it offered a 23% raise and a cash bonus. The union not budging. And now, with no classes, families of the nearly 500,000 children in the district are forced to find backup plans.
ABC's Andrea Fujii reporting. A controversy over bullfighting in one of the 8 countries still allowing it.
6 veteran bullfighters performed for free recently in Colombia to raise money to save the centuries-old tradition. Colombia's Senate recently approved a nationwide ban. Its House of Representatives narrowly voted down an earlier ban, but could take it up again. Almost every bovine raised by man ends up in a slaughterhouse, says Gonzalo Sanz de Santa Maria, a bull breeder. But he adds the bull dies in a temple, admired, applauded, showing its bravery. Opponents call bullfighting cruel and unethical, with slow and painful deaths. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
A stranger with a gun came upon 2 teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.